It's just, we have to. We can't help it. For many of you know that we almost finished remodeling our kitchen at our house. And it was a long journey. We put in a new floor, new countertops, and a new backsplash. And Beth said she wanted it done by Thanksgiving, and I just got it done this last week, mostly done. Done enough so the parts that aren't done you really can't see, and that's good enough for me, right? And I'm really grateful to Dave Bowler for coming in and getting a lot of sawdust around. It was really cool. But he did help. He got me started on the floor, so we got that done, and it's cool. But you know, I learned to praise something completely unique and different while I was remodeling the kitchen floor especially. So the cool thing about remodeling, when you're doing something for your wife, it's like, it is honestly, testify to this, men like Dave DeRosso, it is carte blanche to buy new tools. Yeah, it really is. Like, honey, I'm afraid I'm gonna need this thing. What is it? It's a thing to make your floor work better, go in and stuff.
Can't do the job.
Can't do it, really. I mean, what fool would use NiCad batteries? So I bought lithium batteries, and that's my new praise. I am in praise of 4 amp hour lithium batteries. Baby, I put those things in, and the floor did itself. It's pretty cool. So, I mean, you've probably been around me this last week. It's like, man, lithium. It's lithium batteries. Pretty amazing stuff. We like to praise. We need to praise. It's a basic characteristic of being human. But our perspective is skewed. Our ability to praise and our priorities of praise are out of whack. Well, we'll get back to that a little bit. I mean, I think it's part of the fall, but why does God command us to praise? And why does he command us to praise him? Well, first of all, understand that God does not tell us to do something that isn't ultimately for our benefit. It may be difficult. It may feel like it's not for our benefit. But God doesn't do that. It's good. Man, they're going to suffer with that. I don't want them to do it. I mean, I'm going to ask Zach to sing that song because it's going to hurt him. Actually, I kind of do. But that's, I'm not God, so. God asks us to do things for our benefit. He tells us to do these things because they matter. They have a huge impact in our lives. He doesn't say, praise me, because his ego needs a boost. God doesn't say he needs praise because he's bored or lonely. It's not that God is needy, okay? I just need love. Please could someone love me? That's us. Right? But that's not God. He tells us to praise him because it's the best thing that we can do with our time. We should praise God because he's worthy. He's more worthy than anything or anyone else. And God tells us to praise him because that, when we praise him, it transforms us. See, we're praise people. That's what we do. We praise things, but we've learned to put our priorities on praising things that are secondary or tertiary or really not that important at all. And I hate to say it, but computers aren't the most important thing in the world. You know, they aren't the most important thing in your existence. Old cars are not. I know. That hurts right there. But God is. And if we don't have our priorities straight of praising that which really matters, we will praise something that's secondary or something that actually changes us in not always the most positive ways. It's okay to praise those things. It's okay to praise sports teams. It's okay to praise another person. It's a great thing. But it's most important to praise God. And if you're not praising God, those things take his place. And what does the Bible call that?
Idolatry.
Idolatry, brother. Not trying to preach at you or anything. Wait, I am. I believe that praise has the power to transform you, to change your perspective and priorities. You know that's what God's sanctification process is all about, right? A little secret. God wants to change you. I mean, he loves you the way you are, completely. And you don't have to change for him to love you, but he wants to change you. Right? That's what sanctification is about, and it starts with changing your perspective and your priorities. Changing your perspective about life, about your own life, about what matters, what's important, and what's not that important. That needs to be changed. We don't come out of the womb having that stuff in order. We don't. It's a fallen world, and we're fallen people. God wants to change this and get us back in order with His kingdom. That's what He does. That's what the sanctification, the spiritual growth process is about. Changing your perspective and your priorities. I'm saying this because I'm trying to ruin Beth's sermon next week. And I'm going a long ways in doing this. He's making us citizens of His kingdom. Of His kingdom, not this worldly one. You know that that's what happened when you accepted Christ as your Savior. You became the citizen of another kingdom. You entered into another kingdom. You were under the rule of a different king, not yourself, not the prince of darkness. That's what happens. And so He's in the process of teaching us the priorities and the perspectives of the kingdom. And praise goes a long ways towards doing that. We're not citizens of this worldly kingdom. We're citizens of His eternal one. Not the one that's fading away, not the one that is disappointing and discouraging, corrupt and fallen. Well, what is worship? Worship is actually kind of answered in this. It's our response to who God is and what He does. Go back one slide, if you will. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise Him for His unequaled greatness. Do you see that? It's what He does, and it's who He is. We praise God. Worship is about responding to who God is, His unequaled greatness. In other words, there's nothing as important to praise as God. There's nothing that deserves our praise that's more worthy of praise than God, and for His mighty works. Whether that's things that have happened to you personally, or you like to go out into nature and look at the rocks and the mountains and kill elk. mighty works. Elk's a pretty beautiful animal, and it very tasty, I might say. We had elk chili over at Brian and Stacy's house, and it was good stuff. Good stuff. You have my permission to kill more elk, as if you needed it. So we're to praise Him for who He is and for what He does. We can also praise Him for the things that He's done in our lives, the things that prayers that He's answered in our lives, for our kids, for our parents sometimes, for for healing. This is my problem. I'm kind of a guy. Okay? This is what guys do, and guys, back me up here. You know this is what we do. We're conquest people. It's conquest. It's about conquest. So, like, God, I really want You to do this for me. You did that? Great. Let's move on. What's the next thing I need You to do for me? I forget about that thing that He's done. If we're not careful, men, we do this in marriage, too, don't we? Right? Like, well, I got the wife. Okay, she's over here now. I think I'll focus on my job. Right? It's sad.
It's true.
It's sad, but it's often true. So we have to be careful about that. But that's what we need to do. In praising God, it's like, remember what He's done. Worship is more than music, okay? Right? Worship of God is a lot more than simply music. Worship is what our lives are to be about. We should worship God with every part of our lives and everything that we do. Everything should be an act of worship. That's part of being part of the kingdom. We lay it before God and say, I worship You with whatever it is I'm doing. And that helps us get our priorities straight. I want to do the right thing. I want to do this in a way that pleases and honors and worships You, God. But music is a big deal. I say that not simply because I'm sort of a musician. But music is a big deal. And I'll talk more about that later. So how do we praise God? With what do we praise God? It seems like He says musical instruments. If you got it, use it. First time I read this, I thought, wow. He's kind of letting the doors open here, isn't he? kind of saying, you know, these loud crashing cymbals. I used to play in a rock band where I was right next to the drummer, and one of the reasons that my right ear isn't quite as good as my left ear is because the drummer had this thing called a China cymbal, right, Tristan? And those things are, wow, one of the most annoying things, and God says, use it. Loud, clanging cymbal, right? Tambourines. He says, with dancing. Zach was telling me this Wednesday night, you know, we're kind of talking about the dance. Well, here's what we were talking about. We were talking about the kids up here that dance. You may have noticed. it's not the toddler. Preschooler mosh pit at this point. At times, we'll go ahead and say that maybe it gets a little out of control. There's a little weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that occurs here. And we were talking about how it would be really interesting if the band just stopped and started doing that. We all went down there and started dancing, you know, and then we started poking each other and pulling on each other. And, stop that! You know, just getting crazy. Well, this kind of brought up the concept of how kids dance. You know, it's a natural response to music. And Zach was telling me about Lucia and how, you know, he discovered at home they put music on and she just starts moving and dancing. And Zach goes, where'd she get that? I do not dance around the house. For which we are all profoundly grateful. But I mean, I get that. I cannot see Zach boogieing out there in his house. Hey, I'm going to turn on some music and I'm going to boogie. That is not going to happen. But kids, it's just a natural response. It's just a natural response to music. And God says, go with it. Do it in a way. So you got that, Kathy? I'm counting on you. So dance is a response of happiness, of joy, of celebration. Well, why do we have a hard time praising God in music sometimes? Why do we have a hard time doing that wholeheartedly? And I asked myself that question. I tried to think through why maybe people have a hard time. And I will say that I have observed, wait for it, in our congregation, a little bit of a, shall we say, introversion thing going on.
Really?
Except for Steve. Sometimes Doug, and occasionally Beth, who's not here. They're kind of introverted about this whole, I can praise God just sitting here, and I might tap my toe, and I'm singing along, but I might, you know, it makes me wonder if we're afraid to put our heart into it for some reason. Now, I don't want to meddle. I would if it would help, but I don't think it will. So I'm just simply going to speak to this issue. Why sometimes do we have trouble just giving it to God right here, corporately? And by the way, if you can't do it in church, probably not going to happen in your workplace. Probably not going to happen many other places unless you're alone somewhere. And that's great. Do that. That's a great place to start. Out in the woods, wherever you need to go. Kathy, I know she goes out in the woods and dances. I know she does.
I just use the front room.
Use the front room? That's good to hear. I'll stay away from your house. No, it's good that we do that. But he says to praise God in the what? The sanctuary. I think there might be something important here. One of the reasons I think we don't praise God wholeheartedly, we're not able to really just give it all to God, is we haven't had a good day. We haven't had a good week. We're not having a good life. And so we're kind of like struggling with it. And there's reason for that. This world isn't always an easy place. There's a lot going on. You probably are aware of the issue in Ferguson and the riots and all of that and the racial tensions. You know, I think about stuff like that and I get concerned. I get concerned about truth. I get concerned about honest testimony. I get frustrated with a seemingly increasingly militaristic police force. I get frustrated with racial tensions. I get frustrated with perceptions of people. I get frustrated with those who inflame those tensions. And I get frustrated with injustice. And so sometimes that stuff's on my mind. As I'm, you know, I come to church and there's a lot of stuff on my mind. And so it's hard for me to enter into praise wholeheartedly. Anyone else Now I know. Sorry, brother. Events, politics, life can get us down, confused. We lose our hope and we lose our perspective. And yet, I think it's exactly why God tells us to praise. He says, take your mind off of that and put it on me. Get your perspective straight to begin with. Enter into this wholeheartedly. I think one of the other reasons that we sometimes don't enter into praise wholeheartedly is we get self-conscious. Either we don't feel like we're a great singer, or we're afraid people are looking at us, or maybe we think, man, I'm such a great singer, I don't want to show everybody else up. I mean, that can happen. I just don't want to show off. And you get self-conscious. You know what the problem with that is? It's exactly why he tells us to praise. He doesn't want you to be self-conscious. He wants you to be God-conscious. Yeah. You take your focus off yourself and on God. That's what praise is about. Forget it. I mean, it's good to be aware. You know, I remember worshiping, attempting to worship, and I'm one of those people who can get distracted really easily. So I remember attempting to worship in a chapel at Multnomah, and here was a guy with bad BO, and his arms were up like this, and he would just spread them out. I'm like, dude, you know, get a clue. So, okay, a little bit of self-conscious in there. But actually, here's the deal. If you got somebody like that, just move over a couple steps. I did not have that luxury because we were all in rows. And that's one of the reasons we don't have pews here, by the way. Is that where they got that name? Pews. Never thought about that. Another reason I think that often we don't worship wholeheartedly, our people don't, is they don't like, oh, I don't know, the music style, quality, or volume, the attitude, personality, or looks of the musicians. I don't think that's as much of a problem here. I hope it's not. I mean, aside from having to look at me, but I hope that's not as big of a problem. I don't perceive that as being as big of a problem here. You guys seem to be okay with the music. And besides, you know what? If you don't like it, there's a lot of other churches. How's that for attitude? It's what it is. It's confident. And the thing is, I realize that you can't please everyone. And the churches that are trying to wash it out into this middle and make everyone happy, guess what? They suck. How do I feel about that? No, they do. It's like, well, let's keep everybody happy. Let's not be too good. Look, the guitar's out. No. Wait a minute. Clanging cymbals. Guitars are nothing. We get to do that. And so I realize that, you know, that's the way that works. And I think you have to use the gifts that God has brought and go with it. But I don't think it's as much of a problem here. We have good, really good musicians, and we work hard to make the music enjoyable. We put a lot into it to make the music of a good quality. And I really appreciate these guys this week. I threw another challenge at them, and they all stepped up. I really appreciated December. She didn't get the text, and Wednesday she shows up, and I said, oh, we're doing a new song. We are. Yeah, it's Free Ride by Edgar. You didn't get the text? No. So she goes back in that corner and listens on her cell phone and comes up and almost sings it perfectly. That's the kind of people that we're working with, and they're motivated here. So I'm not giving you this excuse. Just taking that one away from you. You don't like the music style, quality, or volume, attitude, personality, or looks of musicians? Well, you can talk to us about the attitude. Good luck with that. God's been working on that with me for years. You're not getting anywhere. Finally, you don't feel right with God. Maybe it's hard to worship, to praise God wholeheartedly in song, because you come in here and you just don't feel right with God. Whether it's something that's going on in your life, your own sin, your own issues, sometimes we're barely holding it together. I know for me, well, I did this thing this week. I told Grant, I said, okay, we got to go to Costco. And here's my challenge to myself. I am not going to, under my breath, curse anyone today in Costco. You have no idea how hard that was. And I said, from the minute I get in the parking lot till the minute I leave, the second I leave that parking lot, I'm not going to say anything. Because I knew, and he's like, Dad, why do you even, he used to say that, he said this 2 weeks ago, why do you even go to Costco? Ruins your attitude. Oh, man. Well, place drives me crazy, but I like their prices, and the quality of their food is pretty good, and it's a great solution for feeding the band on Wednesday nights. And so that's why I go, and then I come out of there, and guess what? I don't feel right with God. But I actually made it. The second I was out of that parking lot, though, you did not want to be in the truck. No, that's not true. It was a challenge, I will say that. So the real reason I think that we don't praise God a lot of times is we don't see it as that important. We just don't see it as the value that it is. We don't see it for how valuable it is. And I'm talking about praising God in song. Well, Beth is speaking at Cherry Grove Church today, and I put together her PowerPoint presentation, so I got to peek at her main ideas. And I don't really want to spoil it, but here we go. She was using the Christmas song, Joy to the World, and that line that says, let every heart prepare him room. And she'll talk about that. She'll be mad at me. I can live with it. Every heart prepare him room. You know, God does not come to our lives and say, let me in, I'm coming in. Here, let's go. Right? Oh, no. He asks us to prepare room for him. In fact, you may remember that verse, those of you who grew up in the church, you remember that painting of Jesus knocking on the door? There it is. And I was taught that as an unbeliever, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart, right? And he wants you to let him in, and you let him in, and you become a Christian. Isn't that what you heard? Anybody else hear that same thing? Thank you, church people. You know who you are. You know what? He's talking to the churches. It's in Revelation 3:20. He just finished talking to believers. And he says, if anyone hears my voice, actually wrote it down here, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and share a meal together with you as friends. We will share a meal together as friends. He's talking to believers. So guess what? We have the opportunity to say, nah, ain't got time. I got better things to do. I don't know if it's that important, Jesus. So, I'll get to you in a bit. I'm on my cell phone. I'm working on my classic car. Oops, sorry. I'm on the computer. I'm looking in the mirror, gussying myself up. He's actually asking believers to make room in their lives for him. The Lord doesn't barge in. You have to ask him in. You need to make a big place. You got to make a place for him in your life. I think you have to consciously choose to worship God in song. I think it's a discipline. I think it's one of those things that it's not easy to do, but you know it's good for you. Like exercise. Right? It's one of those things that you know you got to do, like studying for a test, like learning something new, like having children. Sure, it's good for you somehow. It is. It is good for you. It's good for me. And you can't just wait for the magic to happen. That's not what praising God is about, waiting for the magic to happen. When I'm inspired, I will praise God wholeheartedly. When everything lines up, I will praise God wholeheartedly. No, it isn't a feeling. Worship isn't determined by how you feel. Frankly, I'm beginning to think it's something we can really grow in here at City's Edge. I'm seeing some nods. How about an amen? Anyone have an amen on that? All right. Thank you, Steve. I don't have time to read this thing, but I got this article that came through Church Leadership online thing and was really interesting. He talked about why do we sing? Why should we praise God? And one of the points that he made was we remember things that we sing far better than things that we hear. How many of you have memorized a sermon by Charles Wesley?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. How many of you know the lyrics to Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Aha. Yes. To the tune of Kansas. See, we remember things. And when we sing, we're quoting scripture. We're putting our minds in this place of saying, God, you're above all. You're worthy. Look at the lyrics of what we sing. Focus on that and think, God, you deserve this. Even if I'm not in the right place, I want to align my values and I want to align my perspective and my priorities with you, because it will change my heart. It will change the way that I look at things. It'll change the way I look at events in the world. It'll change my perspective and make me part of that kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and align my values with the kingdom of heaven. I've been challenged this week with the idea that praising God regularly, especially in the body of Christ, is a key element of our spiritual growth. I challenged myself yesterday on a long drive. I had to drive down to Silverton. I challenged myself to kind of change my perspective by just praising God. And so what I did was I simply thought about, well, who is God and what has he done? And so I started saying, God, thank you for this, and I praise you because this is who you are. You know, you're powerful. You don't change. You love me. You are love. You're holy and you're righteous. And I began thinking through it. It actually took me a little discipline to think through the characteristics of God and why they matter. And then I began to thank him for the things that he's done in my life. And it did change my perspective a little bit. And I'm just getting started. And I wasn't great at it. I made it about 3 miles and my mind wandered off to something else, as it does. But I think that we need to praise God regularly, especially in the body of Christ, and it's a key element of our spiritual growth. And I think we need to do it, as David says here, in an exuberant and an unashamed and boldly. That's what David did. Remember when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back into the city to put back in the tabernacle? You may or may not remember that story. And what is he doing? He's out there dancing and singing, and he's got all the musicians. And I mean, you know, they had good musicians. I don't know if you know this, but the Levites, they were trained, they were set apart to do that, to learn their instruments. And so they had no excuses, but David was caught up in it. And what happened, of course, his wife mocked him for it, said, you're just like one of the servant girls out there dancing. Who do you think you are? And David said, I'll be even more undignified than this. I'm just getting started. I'm just learning. Well, the challenge for today, for us, for me, I'm sure, for all of us, what if first you actually realize that the praising God through song in particular and worshiping God in every other way corporately is a big deal? I mean, maybe one of the biggest things you'll ever do. Because guess what? We're going to be doing a lot of that in heaven. If I read my Bible right, that's what we're doing. That is what we're doing. And thankfully, you won't have a gravelly voice, you won't have a cold, you won't be off pitch, you'll be able to sing. But that sounds like that's what we're doing. And I think it's a lot more fun than just sitting there and going, oh man, turn the next page, what are we singing here? Oh, I don't know that one. I don't think it's like that. I think because we're there, we're in the presence of God, we see who he is, we're enjoying his beauty, his majesty, I mean, beyond understanding. Beyond understanding. So first of all, what if you committed to understanding how important praise is and regularly committed to being here in the body of Christ, here and praising God regularly? Because just praising God together as a body of Christ is huge. I'm almost done. And secondly, what if you committed just putting your whole heart and soul on the line when you praise God, praising him wholeheartedly, whatever that looks like for you, whatever that's like for you. Not worrying about A, your own issues, what's going on in the world, B, how well you sing, whether or not you like the music. Not worrying about that. What if you did that? Let's pray. God, just teach us to praise you. Amen.